Welcome to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church in Harvest, Alabama. We invite you into our sanctuary as we dive into God's Word with our pastor, Dr. Al Pieringer.
Well, this morning we want to do something a little bit different because I want to give some time to a ministry that's near and dear to my heart. The Gideon's International Ministry has been distributing Bibles for I don't know how many years now. But here's the thing, it's near and dear to my heart because it was the Word of God that led me to Jesus Christ. I grew up religious, thinking that as long as I don't kill anybody, I'm going to heaven. Guess what? That's not it. That's not the way it works, y'all. But it was the Word of God that pointed me to my sin and then pointed me to a Savior. And so, if we can get the Word of God into anybody and everybody's hands, I am all about that. I want to be a part of that. I want to back a ministry that gets the Word of God out there because that Word of God is going to change others just like it changed me. Now, it wasn't a Gideon's Bible that saved me, but I do distinctly remember this. If you want to call it an interaction that I had with a Gideon when I was in college. In college, I was not saved. I was just your normal worldly dude. And I'm walking to class one morning, and there's this guy distributing something out on the corner. Well, you know what? When you're a college kid, you're thinking, hey, anything free has got to be good. So I walk up, see what he's giving out, and it's free, and he's giving out these New Testaments. Now, this was a long time ago, but it was a green little New Testament. And he handed it to me, and I'm like, thank you, and then walking away, and he asked me, do you know if you're going to heaven? And I said, well, yeah, I go to church. And he said, church doesn't get you into heaven. And I'm walking away all kind of mad. Like, I'm like, what does he mean church doesn't get you to heaven? Ain't that the whole point of church? Y'all, he was right. Church doesn't get you into heaven. Jesus gets you into heaven. And the Word of God points to Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. And so again, any ministry that gets the Word of God into the hands of the people is a ministry that we want to be a part of. And so I've asked the Gideons to share with us some of the things that are going on. And then I have something special, a little bit special afterwards. But Brother Art Dunn and his wife Lisa are here today, and Art is here to tell us everything that's going on about the Gideons and give us some testimony and tell us how we can help support them. Would you please welcome Brother Art Dunn?
Saved, as the Philippian jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, answered Paul and Silas. 2,000 years ago, the Philippian jailer believed. Today, inmates are asking the same question, and Jesus is still the answer, and they are believing. Jimmy Huff was an alcoholic, and a drug addict and a crook, and it all caught up with him. He was sentenced to prison. His first day in prison was his worst nightmare. You see, he lost his temper and he assaulted a corrections officer. He would pay a high price for doing that. 1 year, solitary confinement, which meant spending 23 hours a day in a 6x8-foot cell and only getting out 1 hour for shave and shower. While nobody ever communicated with Jim, he was very lonely. The pastor stopped by and gave him a Bible provided by the Gideons. Well, Jimmy had no interest in that Bible and just tossed it under his mom. Well, 2 months went by and Jimmy started weeping out of loneliness because no one ever contacted him. So he picked up that Bible and he started reading. It took him several days, but he read the whole Bible. And when he got to the end of Revelation, he just clutched the Bible to his chest and said, God, if you are who you say you are in this book, I need you. I need a friend so bad. Well, God answered his prayer and he got saved. He was so excited the next time he saw Jacqueline, he said, I became born again last night. Jimmy's testimony reminds me of the promise from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jimmy became prison chaplain. Well, who are the Gideons? We're an association of Christian business and professional men who have one objective, to win men and women, boys and girls, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we do that by placing God's word in the highways and byways of life, such as in hotels and hospitals, nursing homes, prisons, colleges, high school. We also do it through personal witnessing. And our wives can join the auxiliary and work side by side with us. Together, we are considered to be an extension of the local church. We serve as your missionaries. And today, the Gideons are in 200 countries, territories, and possessions, and we're distributing God's word in 109 languages at a rate of over 1 million copies every 2 weeks, despite a worldwide pandemic. And as a result, God is keeping his promise of the power of his word to change life, as it says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I have had many wonderful experiences in prison ministry. When I was in New York, I went to the Downstate Correctional Facility, and as I approached one cell block, I was beginning to offer a testament to the inmates, and I was interrupted, and he said, I want to become born again. Can you show me how? Are we ready to answer that question if someone were to ask us? 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And as that young man asked me that question, I said, Holy Spirit, help me, please. I was so excited. And I shared the gospel with this young man. And he prayed with me, and he received Jesus Christ. And as I had this conversation and was praying with him, I realized as I was leaving, there were five other inmates who heard every word. And I said to them, all of you could have prayed that prayer as well. And another inmate said, I did too. I received a double blessing that night. Praise God. And for many years, the Gideons in Madison County, we have been going to the jail right there in Huntsville. I have personally been involved in Bible studies there every month, and God has done an amazing work in saving many, many young men and bringing them back to Jesus. I was really blessed one time. A young man stood up after one of our Bibles and studies and said, God saved my life by bringing me into this prison. See, he was a prodigal. He grew up in the church, walked away, got involved in bad company, and was arrested, but he was mad when he got arrested. But once he got into that cell block, he saw ministers coming every week. He got a hold of the Bible, he started reading it, and he shared a powerful testimony. In 2017, a young man named James asked me, I want to be saved. Can you walk me through it? And again, in January of 2020, I was at a Bible study, and another man named Clarence asked the same question. What a privilege to lead these young men to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Well, because of the pandemic, the prison ministry has been suspended since March of 2020, and it still has not resumed. So I have a specific prayer request that we would pray that God would open that door, because God does do a mighty work in the prison ministry, and I'm looking forward to going back. So thank you for your prayers. We want to see young people saved right here at Huntsville. Amen? Pastor, you're going to like this testimony. Kevin and Keith, when they turned 16, they're identical twins. They decided to become avowed atheists. They attended meetings, learned how to refute Christianity, and they broke their mother's heart. Well, they went to the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and then one day, as Kevin tells it, he got off the bus, and as he was walking to class, he saw what he called these strange guys handing out little green books. And they were everywhere. And at first, Kevin refused to take one, but he got annoyed every time he was offered one. So he finally, on the third try, he accepted one, thinking these guys are going to leave me alone for now. So he took that book, the New Testament, and began to read it. And once he started reading the book of Matthew, he decided to go back to his dorm room. And he kept reading. He got so enthralled by the Word of God that he skipped classes. He just read the whole New Testament, late into the night. And by the time he got to the end of Revelation, he too asked Jesus into his heart, and he said, I was at peace and free. And the first person he thought of course, was his identical twin brother, Keith. So Kevin went to his dorm room, knocked on his door. And when he opened his door, his brother Keith was kneeling at the end of the bed, holding a green New Testament in his hand. And Keith turned to Kevin and said, I too have given my heart to Jesus Christ. What an amazing testimony that two avowed atheists got saved on the same day. And Kevin became a pastor, and he shared his testimony at a Gideon convention. Praise God. Well, this past year, the Gideons distributed more than 29 million copies of God's Word, but that demand has gone up this year by at least 30%. And for $1.20, you can help provide for a copy of God's Word to be placed somewhere in this world. And when you support the Gideons, you support a ministry that is committed to winning the youth for Christ. We started a movement called the Lifeboat Movement back in 2010. It's a small booklet of the Gospel of John and now the Gospel of Mark that we provide free to youth groups throughout the land. And we encourage and challenge our high school students, take these books and give them to your kids. And in this 11 years, we have provided more than 47 million copies of these books and 3.5 million students have participated. I know that God is going to raise up a new generation of believers amongst the youth. Praise God. We also have a Gideon card program. We provide cards free to the churches that allows you to buy cards, buy Bibles in memory of a person who passes away, or in honor for somebody on their birthdays, anniversaries, or graduations, or any other celebrations. And we also have a Friends of Gideon program. We provided a bulletin insert today, so if you pick up a bulletin insert, all of this information is in the bulletin insert, plus there are additional testimonies. And I also challenge any businessman or professional to preferably consider joining the Gideons. I joined the Gideon ministry back in 1990 when I heard a church speaker, and it's been a wonderful spiritual journey for me, and it will be one for you as well. And I'm very grateful for Pastor Val. He is a great encouragement to me that he has such enthusiastic support for this ministry. We are partners together, and it is God who brings the increase. Amen.
You know what's kind of funny about that testimony that you shared? I was at the University of Wisconsin a lot. So even Wisconsin people can get saved. I know you think Wisconsin's like a foreign country or something. Even there, people can get saved. Logan answered that he's talking about there's some in the back or some of the buttons that are out there. So I also mentioned that he mentioned the car program. We have a display of the cars that are well considered back here, and if you'd like to contribute to the Gideons and that man. Also, at the end of the service today, we're going to have some of our men at some of the exits to be able to give for the Gideons, or, you know, some of you may have already given a few checks in here, given to the church, but we'll just gather all together and we'll make sure that the Gideons get it, so that their ministry will continue. This morning, it's continued things a little bit differently. I want to show a video that Chris and I both, we were just, wow, this is amazing. About a month ago, we went to Pastor Tim with the Gideons, and they shared a video. Her name is Suma, and she gave the testimony at the National Convention of the Gideons in June or July in Orlando, Florida. And so they showed this testimony at Pastor's conference, and I was like, wow. You know what? If everyone was excited, as excited about the Word of God as Uma is, we could just take over the entire world. And I pray that we did. Now, Uma is from India. And so, if you have a bit of an accent, so you have to listen pretty closely. You might need to bring the volume a little bit out to make sure we can hear and understand, because here is a woman changed by the Word of God, but it just doesn't stop there. It's after the text of it is amazing. So I want to share this video with you and hope you enjoy it as much as I have.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Gideons International, for organizing this and giving me this wonderful opportunity to share about his story in my life. May he increase and I decrease. Well, my name is Uma, and God has given me a new name, Esther. And it's not the same testimony that I'm going to share with you, which I did in Modesto in 2019, but God has multiplying his testimonies in my family, and it's going to be an addition today, a new addition which you will definitely relish and enjoy what God has done and glorify his name. So I hail from Chennai, India, and I was born and brought up in a very orthodox Hindu Brahmin family. And I was the last daughter among the four daughters in my family. And when I was a Hindu, I was such a staunch Hindu Brahmin that every day I used to go to the temples and worship those idols. I used to do a lot of ritualistic things, and I used to sacrifice and do a lot of physical sacrifices to those idols. And you can never see my forehead without the vermilion saffron which the Hindus keep. And I was so pious, I felt that I was from a very upper caste, and I was so proud, but I never had the peace in my heart. I was searching for holiness to the holy God, but I never found that. And the best part of it is, when we were in India, we had the opportunity to go to Christian convent schools. And that's where the door opened. It's not because of Christian convent, but how God met me there. So when I was studying in the convent school, I was surrounded with a lot of Christian friends. And every day we used to have the school assembly, and we used to know the Lord's Prayer by heart. And we used to hear the word of God and everything over there, but nothing actually influenced me or changed me. Because when my sister was in 10th grade, I was in 1st grade in the same school, and nothing changed any one of us over there. But I want to stress this more because these days, you know, they say that Christians convert others. That's not true, because I'm a living proof, because no man can convert another man. Conversion is not a compulsion. It is a conviction of the heart. And when I was a small child, you know, the Gideons used to come to our Christian primary school, and they used to distribute these small, tiny, pocket-sized Bibles to all the children. At that time, I was in first grade. I suppose it was 1985 when I first received this small, tiny Gideon Bible. And I was so fascinated with this small Bible because it was so tiny that it fit into my small hands. And I always used to keep it in my uniform pocket, and I used to keep running around with it. And just because I like literature a lot, I just simply started reading the Psalms and the Proverbs, not knowing the exact meaning of it, but I simply used to read it. And days went on, and the school organized for a scripture union camp. At that time, I was 12th grade, and I just went to the camp to have fun with my friends. First 2 days of the camp, I was just having fun. The third day in the camp, what happened was, a sister shared a small message in the group, and she shared from Isaiah chapter 44, that we cut wood from a tree, and one part of the wood, we make an idol and we worship it, and the other part of the wood, we are actually using it as firewood for cooking. So we are actually worshipping the created object and not the creator. So if you have brains, think and see. She just pointed out to me in front of the whole crowd, not knowing that I was a Hindu, and she said, if you have brains, think and see. So that night was a sleepless night, because as a teenager, I felt so bad in front of all my friends. I couldn't sleep, and out of curiosity, just to go and fight with that sister the next day, I opened the Bible, and for the first time, I started reading the book of Isaiah from the Old Testament, out of curiosity to just fight. But as I was reading, you know what happened? I don't know what happened, but the Holy Spirit just transformed me. And for the first time in my life, I got to know that the true living God hates idol worship. I cannot compress this omnipresent God and make him into a statue or an object and worship him and say that you are God. I can't worship what I made from my hand. And I got to know the most important second thing was that this God of the Bible wants to have a personal relationship with me. When I was a Hindu, because they are against my faith, and I cannot convert them because no man can convert. But I believe that your word is alive, and I'm leaving this small little Bible because I can't leave a bigger one in the room. They might throw it. So I hid this Bible right on top of a shelf, and I just came saying that you are there, but I am not there, Lord. And I came here to the U.S. and I totally forgot about the Bible, but I was praying for my parents' salvation. And one day when I was feeling down in spirit, I called my dad and I was sharing something, you know, that I'm worried and I'm going through something. And you know something, what he did? He quoted scripture verses from the Bible and he said that Jesus is with you though we are not there. Your God is there. He is a living God and he did so many miracles in the Bible. And I asked my dad, Dad, how do you know this? Because you were against Christianity, you were against the Bible. How do you know scripture verses? He said, one day, you know, I was feeling lonely. He's actually now 80 years. But when this happened, he was 77 years. And one day, he said, I was lonely. I just went to the upper room trying to take some things away. And I found this small little Bible in the shelf. And out of curiosity, I just started opening this. And I just started reading this and I couldn't stop it. And I asked Dad, Dad, you can't read the newspaper because you said the letters are so tiny. But then how can you read the letters in the small little Bible? And he said, I couldn't read the newspaper so well, but this Bible I was able to read. I don't know how. It is the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. And now he's finished the New Testament. And I got him a bigger letter Bible. And he started reading the Old Testament. And every day sends me verses saying that this particular verse and this promise through this God spoke to me. Every day he's sending it to me. And my mom was against this and she said, you keep this Bible business with you and your daughter. Don't bring that Bible business to me. This is what she said before the COVID. And during the pandemic, God touched my mom. My mom was against all this. During the pandemic, fear struck. At that time, I had an opportunity to share about God's love and the courage and the encouragement that the Word gives. I just shared with her Psalm 91, and I just did it once. And after that, the Word of God did everything. The Word of God got into her heart, and she says that Jesus is Lord, and she is proclaiming this truth to all the Hindu relatives. And she meditates on Psalm 91 every day until this day. Though the next door neighbor died because of COVID, or anyone else died on the street and relatives died, my parents are still alive and safe. The Word of God made them, protected them, and they are safe right now as a testimony in India. Praise God for that. Amen. Praise God. So this is the addition of the new testimony which happened in 2021 during the pandemic. And God has used the COVID to change a lot of people in India. Now there is a revival happening and many people who are against Christianity, against our faith are coming to us for prayers. God is good. It is all about Him. It's not about me. No man can convert anyone. I was not there with my parents. I couldn't convert them, but the Word of God was there with my parents. The Word of God is alive and active. Nothing else is so sharper than this Word. The Word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. Only God can do it. Only His Word can do it, not me. Praise God, may He increase and I decrease. As for me and my household, we will worship the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Y'all, if that didn't fire you up, you're a little wet or something. My goodness. She's a little excited about Jesus. Man, that we all would be excited about Jesus like that and the Word of God. I want to take 5 or 10 minutes looking at a Bible passage in Matthew chapter 7, starting verse 24. That is vitally important, I think, considering everything that we have seen and heard. You know, those past 2 months I've been going through several of Jesus' parables, and hearing all these testimonies given here on the video about the power of God's Word, it reminded me of another parable that Jesus shared. And it's a parable about someone building houses. Now that's a picture that we're very familiar with around here. I mean, there are houses going up everywhere. There are two subdivisions going on everywhere around here. I mean, just the other day on Jeff Road, off Jeff Road, they started like a new subdivision that's going to back up into my subdivision. I mean, it's just all over the place. Same houses are being built. And I think it's important, I think we all agree that how the house is built is very important. It's important to have sturdy walls. You don't want them to crash down. It's important to have a good roof over your head, especially on a rainy day like today. But nothing might be more important than having a solid foundation. And what's true about houses is also true about our own lives. And Jesus uses this picture of a house in a parable. It's a parable about two different guys. They're building two different houses. They end up having two different outcomes. All because they have two different foundations. And as you can guess, so the subject that we've been talking about today, what that foundation in our lives ought to be. Look at Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Jesus said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Here, Jesus had just finished up the Sermon on the Mount, giving his listeners gold mine, a teaching about what it means to be someone in the kingdom of God. Now, the question came up, after everything that Jesus has just spoken, what are you going to do with his words? And I guess that question is going to be expanded. The entire Bible is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. What are you going to do with that Word? What you do with God's Word can be compared to these two guys with their two different houses. Now, you know, we don't know much else about the houses. They may have been similar floor plans or something, I don't know. But we do know one very important detail. They may have been similar in every other similar way. Same material, same floor plan, same everything except they had dissimilar. They had different foundations. There was a guy that Jesus was wise. I think we all like to consider ourselves wise. We think we're pretty smart. But often when we use the word wise, we're talking about, yeah, I'm wise. I know the ways of the world. I know how to get around in the world. But that's not true. Wisdom, the Bible makes a distinction between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God. And the wisdom that comes from God is found in God's Word. When you base your faith and when you base your life on God's holy Word, then you become wise. And a wise person has a solid foundation. You have a solid foundation for your life. Not just hearing, you know, that's the thing. It's not just hearing the Word, like, oh, that's a nice word, and then going about your business. You put God's Word into practice. I read God's Word, I hear God's Word, and I obey God's Word. You heard the testimonies. They heard God's Word, and then they obeyed God's Word. They heard God's Word, and they obeyed by believing in Jesus, because there's a call to believe. There's a call to faith. They read God's Word, they heard God's Word, and they lived it out. Merely hearing, merely reading is not enough. A wise person builds their life upon what's here. They build upon the foundation. They put it into practice. And so, you know, Jesus is this wise person who builds their life on the foundation of God's Word. They build this house, and then all of a sudden the storms come. And it's able to withstand the storms, and there's so many different storms in life. Is there There's so many problems and trials and tribulation. There's problems with finances. There's problems with relationships. There's problems at work. There's problems at the school. And then, not even mention the storm of God's judgment that comes in the end. There's so many different types of storms. But if your foundation is solid, if your foundation is based on the Word of God, you're able to withstand the storms. When the Word of God is the foundation of your life, when you choose to learn the Word of God, when you choose to meditate on the Word of God, when you choose to memorize the Word of God, when you choose to conform your life to the Word of God, you're able to stand up and stand strong. No matter what might be, whatever hurricanes have come our way, either literal or figurative, no matter how far the winds are blowing, from God's Word comes stability of life. Everyone wants to have a good life. Everyone wants to have a prosperous life. Everyone wants to have a meaningful life. Well, the definitions might be a little bit different, but if your life is based on the Word of God, it will be prosperous and spiritually prosperous. God will give you meaning. You will have purpose if you build on the foundation of God's Word. But then there's a fool. We think that's kind of an insult. Talk about fool. Well, the Bible says, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. But then you're also foolish if you ignore the Word of God. You're foolish if you don't build your life on the Word of God. The fool says in his heart that, I can just live my life according to my own way. I can do my thing. Or as the saying goes, you be you. Well, guess what? If you are being you, you're going to get messed up. Because you are the problem. Oh, I got so many problems in life. Yeah, how many of it is because you are you? How many of it is because of you? You're the problem. You're not the solution. The fool says, I can do my own will. I can live according to my own wisdom. I don't need the Word of God to tell me what to do. I'm fine doing my thing. And so the fool completely disregards God's Word. It has no effect on how they live. And Jesus says, you know what? That's like building on sand. Sand is soft. Sand moves around. You ever been down to the beach and it's just really extra soft sand? And you can barely move because your feet are sinking in. And he says, when the storms of life come, when God's judgment comes, the house is going to fall because sand is soft and it moves around. When you ignore the Word of God, when you refuse to let the Word of God build your worldview and form and shape your worldview, you're not going to be able to stand in life. And you're definitely not going to be able to stand in the judgment in front of God. And so now the question comes to you. How are you building your house? How are you building your life? What are you building your life on? Well, Oprah said, trust me, you follow Oprah. When the winds come, you're going down. Well, Dr. Phil said, who cares? What does God say? Then you're on solid ground. Then you'll be able to withstand the storms. I want to have a meaningful life. Then you follow Scripture. I want to have purpose. Then build your life on what God's Word says. It will direct you. Christians, we claim, especially Baptists, evangelical Southern Baptists here, we claim to be people of the Word, right? We're people of the Word. Southern Baptists, we fought for the Word in the 80s and 90s. We're people of the Word. Well, if you claim to be a person of the Word, is the Word doing something in your life? Or you just say, well, is the Word of God more like a checklist? Well, okay, I read, all right. Whew, that's over with. Let me get on with my day. That's not going to get you anywhere. How can you be a person of the Word if the Word isn't forming your life? If it isn't informing your decisions? If it isn't informing your viewpoint on how you're looking at the world? How can you be a person of the Word? And so today, during the invitation, maybe you need to come to the altar and ask God for help building the house of your life on the solid foundation of Scripture. Maybe you need to come and ask for direction. Lord, show me in your Word this thing going on in my life, a direction. Maybe you need wisdom for a storm that's going on in your life. You got a storm brewing. Ask God to show you through His Word how to withstand the storm, where to look, what to do, where to go. But maybe there's some here today who haven't even trusted in Christ yet. See, here's the thing. You can't go to heaven. You cannot be saved without Christ. You heard Uma's testimony. She was Hindu. She had millions of gods. Not a single one of them could save her. Only the true God, the one God, the God of Scripture, the God who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for people. That is the God who made the way, paved the way for us to get to Him. He sent His Son. Jesus said, look, okay, it's a narrow gate. It's a very difficult road that you go through and go down in order to get to heaven, in order to get to the Father. It's a really huge gate and a really wide road and a really easy road that leads to destruction. There's a whole lot of people going down that road. You want to be the one going through that narrow gate, going down that difficult road, the one way, Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And you start there. You start there, and then after that, once you're on that journey, you build the house of your life on the foundation of God's Word, not someone's opinion, not whatever is new in pop psychology, not whatever is, well, you know, whatever, all the feel-good stuff that's out there, be it feel-good preaching, feel-good TV, whatever. Build it on solid ground, and when the storm comes, you will stand. And so believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved, build your life on His Word.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at harvest-baptist.org or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can also find info on our children's ministry on Facebook at Harvest Baptist Children's Ministry or on Instagram at kidsquest_HBC. Our student ministries on Facebook at HBC Vertical Student Ministry and on Instagram at VSM_HBC. We welcome you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We are located at 8999 Waltrana Highway in Harvest, Alabama. Thanks for listening, and God bless.